Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's our Vote 2008 Super Duper Tuesday series. Are you the one? Are you the one, John Edwards?
It's not complicated. The biggest companies in America, their profits are through the roof. The richest Americans are getting much richer. At what cost? At what cost? The cost is damage to the middle class. The cost is killing the promise of America for our children and for our grandchildren. We can't stand idly by and let this continue to happen. We can't. It's time for us to speak up. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough.
John Edwards speaking on CNN yesterday. And New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, we will all hold our primaries on the so-called Super Duper Tuesday, February the 5th. And we know many of you, both Democrats and Republicans, are undecided. And as I mentioned earlier, we're setting up part of our show and our website between now and then as a special place for peer-to-peer democracy. That is a media space where we can all help each other figure out who to vote for in these Democratic and Republican primaries. We'll have lots of time to speak, to argue, to persuade, and to deliberate together over the next month or so, and that'll help us facilitate democracy as our mission all the way to Super Tuesday and beyond. As a peer-to-peer place, we'll have call-ins for undecideds to deliberate together, for the committed to convince undecideds. We'll have lots of call-ins for specific groups of voters by all kinds of demographics to make sure everyone feels like you're included and have a voice here. But as a peer-to-peer place, it's not just our ideas that'll drive this series. It's also yours. So we want your suggestions of topics and questions and guests, your conversations on the phone and on our website, your ideas of what to follow up on when something is unresolved, and your suggestions for videos and reading material so that it's not just the pundits or the experts or me mediating the election for you or to you or at you. So let's just begin that right now with just that. You tell me what you'd like to hear about the candidates before you have to make your choice. The phones are open for this now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Again, answer the following question. What do you still feel you need to know about the candidates to help you decide on your vote on February 5th, when presumably both the Democratic and Republican races will be decided as New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and about 20 other states vote? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And in primaries, people generally select candidates based on three things: their positions on the issues, their personal qualifications like character and experience, and their electability, because everyone wants their party to be able to win in November. So that's another place we can go with this right now. Which is most important to you, electability, personal qualifications, or their positions on the issues? Which is leaving you the most undecided? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Kevin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I guess the question I'd like to... I need Obama to answer is regarding the recent bankruptcy bill.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the details of it, but I know basically it was basically heavily lobbied by the credit card company, and Obama voted in favor of it, the credit cards position.
Interesting, because Biden, who is sometimes known as the senator from the banking industry, because Delaware has so many of these credit card companies because of a quirk of Delaware law. I asked him when he came on the show for his candidate interview, and he said that he, Biden, voted against that bankruptcy bill that made it so much tougher for Americans facing personal bankruptcy. So that's interesting that that Obama voted for it.
Yeah, it's a very good point. You're correct. Biden did vote against it, which a lot of people were surprised by. So, yeah, I'm torn between him and Edwards. I'm leaning toward Obama, but that's the one thing that bothers me a bit.
Okay, we will try to get an answer for you on the rationale for Obama's vote for the bankruptcy bill. Adrian and Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I so love your show.
Thanks a lot.
I just read Phyllis Bennis's book, on understanding the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And I'm wondering if there is anyone who can help explain Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's position on how to get us out of this horrible mess that we're in between Israel and the Palestinians. I mean, we have, it seems, just allowed Israel to kind of do everything that is opposed to international law there, and they are continuing. What do they say that they can do?
So we can do that comparison. And, of course, other people would take a different point of view on what Israel has done and whether it's right or wrong and all of that. But in terms of clarifying the candidates' positions on the issues, I think they all, with the exception of Kucinich, tend to, that is, the major, all of the Democrats in the race, with the exception of Kucinich, I think tend to take a pretty similar position. But that's a really good one to tease out, and it's definitely of interest, no matter what side of that issue you're on, to a lot of people in our listening area. So that's a good one, and we will definitely do that in this series as well. Sheldon in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sheldon.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It seems to me that there's been a move around the country in different ways. Senator Boren and Senator Nunn are going to have a meeting this coming Sunday at the University of Oklahoma. There's something called Unity 08 on the web that it's attempting to...
this is the thing with Mayor Bloomberg, right?
That's right. More bipartisan and nonpartisan politics. It seems to me that the candidate who was most electable would be that, like Bloomberg, who could attract a crossover from the from the Republicans to the Democrats and be more centrist, which is what I think Dodd is about. And as far as the caucus is concerned, I'd like you to think about... The fact that caucus goers will be standing for one of the lower tier candidates, excuse me, is likely to mean that if they need to realign, they might realign with one of those three lower tier candidates, for example, Biden, people moving over to Dodd to make him viable, rather than move to one of the top three. After all, they've already chosen not to be with the top three.
Well, I think they only get a second round, and they are so low in the polls that presumably, if the polls are accurate, the Biden people switching to Dodd or something like that is not going to put them over the 15% of caucus goers votes threshold that they would need to get out of there. So I think that they would be eliminated in that caucus in the first round. In fact, that is how it works. So they wouldn't even be eligible to get that second round vote. Let's say Dodd gets 4% of the votes at a particular caucus in the first round and Biden gets 3%. They are both out. And the only ones you can vote for in the second round are candidates who got more than 15%. So that scenario technically couldn't take place.
I see.
But on the centrism question, let me ask you, Sheldon. Do you think that Obama plays this role at all? Does he play this role for you? Because he is portraying himself, and I think there's a paradox here, because he's also portraying himself as more reliably liberal on some things like the war than Senator Clinton, but also portraying himself as the post-partisan Democrat who doesn't have the old baggage of, you know, Clinton versus Gingrich and all that stuff, who could bring the parties together. Does that work for you?
Yeah, actually, among the top three, he is the one who, for me, works the best in that regard. I also think he's exciting a number of new voters. In fact, in the Des Moines Register, it looks as if the strength of his poll numbers are coming from first-time caucus goers who were younger mm-hmm. and hadn't participated before. So I think he has actually two attractions, that middle ground as well as younger people.
Sheldon,
younger
thanks a lot. Call us again. Paul in Jersey City. You're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hello. I would like to hear the candidates address how they are going to be an effective leader at implementing their program, and particularly, for example, for John Edwards, who says a lot of things that are attractive to me, but I'm a little concerned about his track record. How is he going to get the job done?
That's a really good question for all the candidates. You know, it's been part of the heart of the Romney campaign, where he says, look, I'm a manager, I've run a business, I ran the Salt Lake City Olympics, I'm a manager. And it's a subtle swipe at the Bush administration without quite dissing Bush by name because they've managed so many things so poorly, as a lot of people see it, and also, you know, emphasizing his competence as a manager. So that's one way that that question has played out. And it's something that Giuliani, it's something that the people who've been governors and not senators bring up to use in their favor, that they have experience as a chief executive, and these people who've been, you know, one out of 100 cats in the U.S. Senate just don't have that same kind of administrative experience.
Well, I'd agree. It's different in the governmental process, but I'd also like to hear Senator Obama talk a little bit about how his community organizing experience might make him different from the average senator in that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Jamil in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jamil.
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, my question is that I have thought the president of the United States, when you elect one, is supposed to be supposed to elect the one who can best defend the Constitution, not the one who has the nicest hair, the one who sounds the nicest, but whose record proves that they try to defend the Constitution as best as possible.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I, you know, I haven't heard you speak much about Ron Paul or all the candidates. I thought that not just a few, you know, but all the candidates and all their views so that the voters can get a better choice of who they want to select.
Well, I mean, I would hold us up as exemplary in this regard. We've had Kucinich on twice. We've had Tom Tancredo on twice. We've had Dodd. We've had Biden. We have been trying like crazy to get Ron Paul to come on the show. And for whatever reason, he's just not deeming us worthy of his time. Ron Paul, are you out there? But we are planning one full segment at least during this series on Ron Paul libertarianism, and to really look at his philosophy, not just his position on the war, which has been the headline-grabbing thing, but the kind of full scope of Ron Paul libertarianism, which is quite an interesting bag of issues.
Good. One more thing, Ryan. I hear you keep on saying the democracy. If I remember correctly, the founding fathers called this a republic. So I'm wondering why you guys are continuously calling this a democracy. Then maybe you can give me an answer to that.
Jamil, you know what? I will give you a promise of a discussion on that we will pick apart, and especially with respect to how it relates to the presidential campaign, the difference between calling our country a republic and a democracy. It is a really good question, and we promise to pay it off for you. So listen, thanks everybody for calling up with some beginning suggestions for what we might discuss during our Super Duper Tuesday primary election series, Are You the One? You can keep posting, as some people have already done, on our comments page on our website for this. We got great suggestions, as you heard, from people on the air, so keep putting them in there. This is going to be peer-to-peer democracy. I can't say peer-to-peer republic, right? So it'll be peer-to-peer democracy. We want to know what you want us to talk about. What do you need to make your choice by the time the New York and Connecticut and New Jersey primaries come around on February 5th? So post that to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And don't forget, I will be anchoring live Iowa caucuses coverage tomorrow night at 8 on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC.